The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, since God was willing to spare Sodom and Gomorrah if they had at least 10 righteous people, they never could come up with 10 righteous people, actually, but since he would have spared them if they had, how many will it take for America, in as much as America is a much bigger country than Sodom? Will God do some kind of proportional estimate? I don't know, my friend. I don't know. It's a fair question. I imagine it would be some kind of equivalent with a percentage amount, but in as much as many evangelicals are compromising their convictions and very few are fighting, I do not have much hope. So pray. Maybe if enough of us pray, maybe if at least 10% of the population repents, God will spare our country. I sure hope so. If not, you can say goodbye to the United States of America. Oh, there will still be a country on the map called the United States, but it won't be the same United States. It won't be a free country, so pray. That's our only hope left. Our only hope is God, not politics, not the GOP. God, I base this on the amount of people, even conservatives and Christians, who swear they'll never vote for Trump since he's such a flawed candidate, and he is an extremely flawed candidate, and yet the word flawed doesn't even come within light years of describing the corruption of Hillary Rodham Clinton, who apparently people have much less of a problem with. To defend herself last week on 60 Minutes, Hillary claimed that there is such a thing as the Hillary standard. When asked what that meant, she explained that there are two kinds of standards that people are subject to. One kind for everybody else, and another kind for her. She actually said this, although not utilizing the word standard in the same way her opponents might coin the term for her. Hillary has, albeit by accident, spoken the truth about her public career, maybe for the first time in her life. Of course, no one can defend Hillary like her husband, Bill. Bill went on and on at the convention about the real Hillary as opposed to the fake made-up Hillary, the one that people think is an incompetent crook, is, of course, the fake, made-up one. The real Hillary is a competent change-maker, a real go-getter. That's the real one. He also said that Hillary will never quit on you. I don't know how he said it with a straight face, but yes, Hillary, according to her husband, Bill, will never quit on you. Hey, Bill, go tell the parents of the Benghazi victims that Hillary will never quit on them. Hey, Bill, the real one lied through her teeth to the parents of the abandoned Benghazi victims. Bill's character witness for Hillary moves me close to tears. No need, Bill. Your respect for her has been made abundantly clear these many years. Oh, this is a big moment for women. And believe me, I know about big moments with women. Yes. This was historical, all right. Never in our history has a proven pathological liar who ought to be in jail been nominated as president. A candidate who, according to the FBI, wouldn't even qualify for a security clearance has been nominated as president of the United States. Doesn't matter. She's a woman. The first woman nominee. And those who defend her are not going to let themselves get sidetracked by actual facts. Brace yourselves. Despite all her proven scandals, despite the utter contempt that the DNC has for our country, Hillary can still win this thing. unfortunately, people are just that stupid. People like Colonel Ralph Peters, who usually makes a lot of sense. He says he detests Hillary Clinton, and he says she should be indicted. And yet, he will vote for her because there's no way he can vote for Trump. No way he can vote for Trump, due in part to a sarcastic comment Trump made about Russia. Colonel Peters, I have just one thing to say to you. Forgetting Hillary's lies and failure regarding Benghazi and her compromised email server and her contribution to that hideous moronic deal we made with Iran, and whatever you may think about the qualifications to be a wartime president, don't you realize that with one more appointed liberal Supreme Court justice, we will no longer be a republic? So what exactly will the troops be defending anymore? That's what I'd like you to explain the next time you appear on Fox News, Colonel Peters. So now she has a conservative general in her corner, several. She also has the media. She's always had the media. The stage was set ahead of time before the GOP convention was over. It was set by NBC's Matt Lauer in his interview with Donald Trump. Gotta love NBC's unbiased Matt Lauer. He suggests to Trump personally that he ask the RNC speakers to tone down the rhetoric. No personal attacks. Did he ask the same of Hillary? Did he ask the same of anybody at the DNC? Did he ask them not to make attacks against Trump? Attacks such as calling him a racist, calling him a fascist, calling him a woman hater. Lauer, you are an ignorant, arrogant, elitist hypocrite, and I feel nothing but contempt for you. Oops, guess I didn't turn down the rhetoric. While we're on the subject of rhetoric, while listening to the DNC talking points, I can only conclude that they assume their following is made up of blithering idiots. Thus, they spoon-feed simple mantras, hoping no one will stop long enough to actually think about what they are saying. They begin by saying, the problem with Trump is that all he does is offer insults and personal attacks. Then they continue, the other problem with Trump is, well, he's a racist and a sexist and a xenophobe. They claim that Trump is being too pessimistic about America and that things are actually going great. Great! And yet they remind us that America is still a racist, sexist country with income inequality, which needs to be fundamentally transformed. Catch him this? We're going great, but we need to be fundamentally transformed. Hillary Clinton repeats that tired cliche about Wall Street needing to pay its fair share, and yet she has received $48 million from Wall Street in campaign contributions and speaking fees. They go on and on and on about how evil it is to build a wall, but they have no problem building a big fence wall to keep the Bernie Sanders protesters out of the convention hall. By the way, this wall was guarded by police whom they pillaged inside the convention hall, honoring the mother of Michael Brown, a thug who was shot only after resisting arrest and attacking a police officer. Then, when the DNC comes under criticism for honoring such mothers while doing nothing for the families of murdered police officers, of which there have been many lately, they do this obligatory moment of silence for police officers the last night of the convention. Even so, during the moment of silence, several of our mature, prestigious Democratic delegates shouted out, Black Lives Matter! Black Lives Matter! And you know who else is kept out of the convention hall? Anyone who fails to show identification. And yet in state after state after state, Democrats are suing against the law that says in order to vote, one must show identification so that we can prove the person is a U.S. citizen. Knowing full well that the notion of restricting American elections only for American citizens is the law, the Democrats resort once again to the charge of, yes, racism. Thank you for playing. Supposedly, African Americans are unable to get an identification. Now, they don't really care about African Americans, mind you. They just care about illegal immigrants from Mexico and other places being able to vote, since they'll probably vote Democratic. And evidently, they worry they won't win the election without cheating. But they know they can't sell that idea. So instead, they resort to the claim that African Americans are unable to get a proper identification. Really? How so? How exactly? Does anybody ever stop and ask this question? How is it they can't get an identification? They can't go to the DMV like everybody else? Okay, maybe they can't drive. Even if they aren't driving, they can get an alternative identification. Some states have offered legal identification without even paying a fee. What African-American citizen in the United States is walking around without an ID? Who registers their children in a public school without an ID? Who opens a bank account without ID? Who uses a credit card without ID? Okay, maybe somebody can't afford a credit card. Who cashes a welfare check without an ID? Who checks into a hotel without ID? Who rents an apartment without ID? Who steps on a plane without ID? Who gets into the Democratic convention without ID? It goes on. They shout about how Trump is anti-woman. Well, women who have worked for Trump have come forward in great numbers, telling us that they received more money than women who've worked for Hillary. They claim to be protecting the underdog and the disenfranchised, but that doesn't apply to unborn children. It doesn't even apply to born children, in as much as many late-term abortions are really infanticides. And while they murder babies, they love to call the right-wingers Nazis, even though the Nazis began by murdering babies and other humans whom they considered genetically inferior. Speaking of genetics, they defend Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, who believed in genetic superior breeding and published an article by Hitler's eugenicists. And they praise the deal with Iran, which sealed Israel's destiny. Yes, this stellar Iran deal, which Hillary brags that she was a part of, the deal she claims stopped their nuclear program. Now, how exactly did they stop Iran's nuclear program? By paying Iran $150 billion. That's $150 billion. And you know what they're doing with the $150 billion? They're continuing their nuclear program. Well, to be fair, they're doing a few other things. They're funding a lot of terrorist organizations. This country, which claims it wants Israel wiped off the map. I would say that Jew haters and eugenicists and baby killers remind me of the real Nazis. You know what else reminds me of the real Nazis? ISIS. While the Democrats were having a convention that barely uttered their name, ISIS cut off the head of a priest in France. And that's just the recent news. Following the murders in Paris, the murders in Germany, the murders in Orlando, the murders in San Bernardino, and yet Obama won't even identify their true ideology. Instead, at the DNC convention, we have a Muslim parent of a fallen soldier speak about how he won't vote for Trump. Gotta love the way the Democrats exploit grieving parents. Of course, we're sympathetic to any parent who lost their child in war. And if this was a Muslim American, same honor. But you know what that has to do with Trump? Do you know what that has to do with Trump's immigration policies? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. This Muslim parent asks Trump to read the Constitution because apparently Trump doesn't understand that the Constitution defends the rights of all Americans. News flash. The Constitution does protect the rights of all American citizens, but it doesn't apply to non-citizens. It doesn't apply to every single refugee who wishes to relocate to America. Living in America is a privilege, not a right. We have a right to ask them a few questions before letting them into our country, especially Syrian refugees who, according to ISIS, are going to contain some stealth jihadist terrorists. Why do they admit this openly? Because they know the Obama administration is so stupid that they can still get away with it. And what is the Democrat answer to all this? Hillary calls for a 500% increase in Syrian refugees. And Obama's spokesman wants to find jobs for the members of ISIS. The Obama Justice Department threatens to persecute anyone who speaks against Islam and refuses to call them a religion of peace. Secretary of State John Kerry says air conditioning is just as dangerous to our planet as ISIS because of global warming. And while they fight for the rights of Muslims who are American citizens, which they should do, they do not match that effort by fighting for the rights of Christians in America. If a Muslim refuses to sell pork, Who are we to interfere with his religion? If a Christian baker says that just as Muslims don't have pork in their stores, he doesn't have wedding cakes for gay weddings in his stores, the guy is treated like a Southern segregationist. By the way, the real Southern segregationists were Democrats. Those who enforced the Jim Crow laws were Democrats. The party of slavery was the Democrats. And today's current segregationists who fight for all black dorm rooms at our universities are Democrats. Even the white people who wanted to march with Black Lives Matter last week outside the DNC hall were told to go to the back of the line while people of color marched in the front. Sounds an awful lot like going to the back of the bus. Should any of this surprise us? After all, these are the same people who can't even bring themselves to tell kindergarten boys and girls which bathroom to use. My God! What kind of country are we leaving to our children? What kind of country are we leaving to our grandchildren? I was holding my first grandson the other day, barely over 2 months old, smiling now at 2 months. But lately, as I think of this beautiful child and I stand before God, I have literally started weeping. I just can't even imagine the world he will grow up in, or more correctly put, I can't imagine it. But whether we're talking about a son or daughter, a grandson or granddaughter, I think many of you, most of you, know just exactly what I'm talking about. Time to pray like you've never prayed before in your life.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Looking for a new book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a six-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. In just a few moments, I'll be introducing my beautiful wife, Dana Siegel. That's the downfall of radio. You can't see how beautiful she is. Well, you can go to my Facebook page and see some pictures of our wedding. Then you'll see. Before I bring Dana on for just a couple minutes here, a couple of comments about some of the things I talked about on my monologue coming in on Facebook. Fran says, regarding what I said about Colonel Peters, that is so true, Bob. Dave writes, when I hear people make statements like that, my BS meter always goes off. My thoughts are that they always intended to do what they say they are doing and were just looking for a good-sounding rationalization for their actions. Mark says, the Supreme Court to me is more crucial than even ISIS is. Let's say we defeat ISIS in 5 to 10 years, but the SCOTUS will be there for at least a generation, possibly two. Liberal or Marxist interpretation of our Constitution would irreparably harm us, most likely past the point of no return. That would literally be goodbye, Miss American Pie. Couldn't have said it better myself, Mark. Russ says, angry people make irrational decisions. Regarding Hillary's chances of winning, Teddy says, I'm praying she will crash and burn. Hear, hear, Teddy, not literally, but let's pray that her campaign crashes and burns. Teddy also comments on my Bill Clinton impression where he says he knows all about big moments with women. She says, LOL, I'll bet he can't wait to be first lady and have his pick of interns. Jeez. Regarding Hillary not responding to the Benghazi crisis, Steve says, remember she said it wasn't on her. It wasn't her call because she was in bed sleeping with the phone off. Janine says she lied to them while they stood in front of their kids' coffins. I'm not sure you can be any more loathsome. Okay, well, we're going to switch gears to a more positive subject because a couple of weeks ago, Dana was mentioning a retreat that she was going to do, and they really did have phenomenal results. Heavy retreat, but a very happy ending for the retreat. Dana, welcome to our program.
Thank you. Yes, it is. It is a heavy topic when you're working through healing from having experienced an abortion. It is certainly heavy, but it was just amazing how God showed up through the whole thing just even the preparation, how we got each person there. Each person is picked by God to be there. And that's always amazing. One of the first things we did when we got there Friday evening was have the women share, if they wanted to, how they found out about the retreat, how they got there. There were so many amazing stories just in how each woman got there. It was really pretty phenomenal.
How did some of them get there? I'm sure it wasn't on a bazooka bubblegum back of the wrapper. How did they get there?
It's interesting because this topic is so sensitive and it is so secretive. So many women carry it and will not even, they almost can't think about it themselves, much less think about even acknowledging it with other women. So they just really don't consider going. The thing that we've seen that has been so powerful is that women who have gone through the retreat in the past have attended our 10-week Bible study, which is focused completely on the book we use, and it's very heavily based on scripture, is called Forgiven and Set Free. It's a 10-week study. We've done 7 of those so far at Skyline. We have our 8th class starting tomorrow night. And when you watch the women go through these classes, you watch them go from not even being able to say the word abortion because it just is so extremely painful for them, to then being free to selectively share with people in their lives. And it's those women that touch other women. And they say, well, gosh, if they did this, then maybe God has this for me too. And so really, it's kind of amazing watching how women are getting connected. We had 3 different churches represented while we were up there, which is so exciting to have a community of churches from East County involved in this. My vision is that it would just grow to many, many churches, even beyond East County in the future. But it really is women talking to other women who have received the healing and seen what God has done for them, sharing privately with other women or in front of their women's groups and Bible studies at their churches, and then other women become courageous and they're able to step up. So most of the women that attended were ones that had been touched personally by somebody that had been courageous and shared. One of the women heard about it 2 nights before we were leaving from someone who's attended our Bible study, attended our last retreat. She's now one of our serving leaders. And she was sharing in the women's Bible study in their church Wednesday night. Thursday night, the woman had wanted to have talk with her husband, see if it was okay. And Thursday night, she committed to go and she was up at camp 24 hours later. So, you know, it even goes right up to the last minute. We had another interesting thing happen. One of our ladies had spoken to her brother who lives up in Temecula and asked for his, he attends a large Christian singles group in a church up there. It's a very big group up there. And she had asked that her brother asked the group to pray for them. And she said, it's a healing, you know, group for women. And he just asked the group, please pray for my sister's group this weekend. They're going up to Pine Valley for a healing retreat. He didn't say for what. Someone else in the group said, well, what church? And he said, Skyline. And then the other person said, oh my gosh, they have the most amazing healing program for women who have experienced abortion. And I know one of the leaders, her name is Stephanie, blah, blah. And this person knew our worship leader. Stephanie is the one that actually started the first Bible study that we did the 7 Bible studies ago. And it's her courage that she stepped out. And now there are many of us that
now
have
you
been
are.
Able to
we've talked a lot about the retreats, of which there have been 2, but the Bible studies are a more ongoing thing, and one is about to start up again. So tell them a little bit about that. And I know you can't have a huge number.
No, it's a small
in the Bible studies, but there are a few openings for a few left, right?
Well, this is it's a very private situation. It's actually held in our home because it would be difficult for women to go to church and be seen, because even walking in the door to a Bible study, somebody's going to say, you know, hey, what are you here for? And so on. And we do just tell the women, you just say, hey, you know, you have a Bible study on Monday night. You don't have to be specific, because we do study a lot. God's word is very, just permeates the 10 weeks. But,
they participate and go through the book called Forgiven and Set Free, which is beautifully written. I am just amazed. Every time we go through it, I'm just amazed at how God's hand is on that book and how the scripture is pulled out as you go through the process. You go through the process of looking at your past and going through your grief. You go through the grieving process. You're not allowed to grieve a baby that you've chosen to abort yourself in our country. You know, that just people, when it's usually not even talked about, it's shameful.
Well, there's so much emphasis on the rights of the mother that they don't think about the rights of the unborn.
Correct. And it just causes great devastation for the mother. The mother chooses abortion thinking that she's finding a quick, secretive way to handle either something that is difficult, embarrassing, the wrong timing, all kinds of reasons. And what they don't know is they're opening the door for great devastation and mental and emotional concerns.
And I should say earlier on when I was being very political and I talked about the subject of abortion and the murdering of babies, I do want to clarify the murderers are the doctors who know what they're doing. I'm pretty convinced that most women that have abortions do not understand that it's the taking of a life. Even if you had one and you did understand, though, the most important thing is the forgiveness of God.
Yes, and that God, he does forgive us, and he takes that deep, deep burden. And it is one of the heaviest burdens that I think human beings can carry. And, causing harm to another human being, and in this case, taking the life of another human being, and then you compound that with thinking about it's a baby who is helpless. And so, I want to be very careful as I'm talking about this, because I realize there are women in our audience listening that have not gone through a process to heal. And if you are listening right now and these words are just cutting into you, and I know they do, I want to reassure you that God loves you. He cares for you. He will forgive you. And there is healing for this, as difficult as it is. One of the hardest things that women who have experienced abortion experience is that they cannot forgive themselves. Even though we hear God does forgive us, there is a process we have to go as human beings. We're very complex, and there's a lot of emotional ties to this. And we have to go through a process to really look at this and deal with it. So it was an amazing weekend. I'm always amazed at how God takes something that is so difficult. And the more we harbor something or carry it as a secret, the more devastation it causes in our life. And you carry that. Many of these women have carried this secret and this burden for many years, if not decades. I carried mine for decades before it came out. And so we go through the process in 48 hours of taking them from where they are to then seeing that God loves them and that they are his princess daughter and that he has forgiven them and that they can be restored and that they can get past this and they can be whole again and free to serve God and his purposes.
Okay, when we come back on, I want you to walk us through the actual schedule of a retreat and then maybe share a few stories, not naming any names,
of course not.
Some women on
right.
there. We'll be right back. This is Bob Segal. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, Perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points. Skyline Church at 94 in Hamishaw, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. The message of Christianity, love, and forgiveness. Our message is not condemnation. That's the way it gets portrayed in the media. That's sometimes the way Christians come across. But somebody who does not come across that way is my wife, Dana Wright, continuing to tell us about the wonderful retreat she just had where several women were healed and received forgiveness for the act of abortion.
Thank you, Bob. And I'm going to correct you. I am now Dana Siegel.
Did I just call you Dana Wright?
You did. You've known me longer as Dana Siegel.
And we've had you on the show for many years as my co-host, yes, Dana Wright. So.
That is true. That is true. But yes, I know.
Well, I should. In my defense, it's only been recently that your checks have converted
everything
to Siegel
is
and your driver's license.
Converted.
So.
My district email.
We have been married a whole year. So I need to start calling you Dana Siegel.
Yes, that would be great.
And well, Mrs. Siegel, pray tell. Go on about your retreat.
Thank you, sweetheart. Our weekend retreat is, and we just had it a short time ago. And one of the things that we try to accomplish in that weekend is help women feel safe in sharing what their past has been about and where they are. Because when we speak those things out loud, when we take those secrets and those burdens that we've been harboring and we speak them out and we share them, it takes a lot of the captivity out of it. It takes out the darkness, and Satan wants to keep us there. He wants us to not be comfortable to share and so on. So we provide a very safe environment. I heard more so this retreat than even in the past, how comfortable women felt, how safe they felt. They noticed the little things we were doing. For example, whenever a woman calls to just inquire about the retreat or talk, the first question I always ask them is, are you in a place where you can talk, or do we need to have this conversation another time?
That sends out quite a signal of comfort right there. Confidentiality.
And yes, and I heard that from women once we were up at camp and just visiting. There were several things that we do. None of our paperwork says abortion on it. So if they happen to leave it laying around in their house, no one else in the home would know necessarily. And many of these women come with, they have children in their home. Some have spouses they haven't shared with, and, you know, they're still working through that and they aren't at that place yet to share. So everything we do is to protect the confidentiality and the privacy of each woman. And so they come to a very safe place, and we do gently help them be able to share their story. And it's amazing after, and we don't do this until Saturday, but after they share their story once, and they do it one-on-one with one other woman, it's not in a group, it's one-on-one, very private and safe. Every person just says, oh my gosh, I feel so much better just having spoken it out. And then we give them an opportunity again later in the weekend to share a second time. Again, it's just one woman to another woman. So it's very private and safe. And you can just see the burdens lifting. You can see how they're processing it. So safety is great. Pine Valley Bible Camps, just an amazing place. That's where we go. They have been so wonderful. Their director, Steve Daniels, and the board has just been so supportive. They just they just treat us like queens and take great care of us. And we have our own private meeting hall and our own private housing. And it's just a lovely place to be. So safety, confidentiality, and feeling comfortable to share are key hallmarks of this weekend. And we gently work the women through that. And as they're going through the weekend, they do find that, you know, this time, many of the women had not shared before with other people since the event itself. One woman had only shared 2 weeks before the retreat happened, and it was a separate situation. It wasn't because she was coming to the retreat. They were isolated situations. She felt compelled to tell her husband that she'd been married to for many, many years and had never told him about her past. She shared and then heard about the retreat and connected and signed up and came. And it was just amazing hearing her story and what had gone on. So we have the range of women that have never shared with anyone else, that they are the only one that knows about this, or maybe perhaps a sister or a close friend would be the only other person that knows, to now being able to talk about what happened and be able to process it. So, it's just an amazing weekend. The most important part of the weekend, I think for me, is helping women understand and be reassured about where their babies are and what happened to their babies. You know, we're here on earth in this sickened, dark world that we live in. And our minds go to the physical part of what the abortion was. And that was where I was stuck there for a long time. I couldn't get past that. But when you study and you realize that Jesus took our babies instantaneously, they went from us to Jesus, and they did not suffer, and they didn't have to go through the suffering and the harm and the pain here on earth. They went to heaven, a beautiful place, and they have been with Jesus ever since. That is such a helpful thing for women to process and understand. We don't think of it that way here on earth. We don't always know where did our babies go, what does happen, but we know that our babies do go there, and that God is taking care of them, and that they didn't suffer. We've suffered tremendously as their moms, but they did not suffer. And so that is so comforting. So many women are relieved. And we have a special ceremony where we acknowledge our babies, and we go through a process to symbolize really handing them back to God and saying, here is my baby, and I'm putting him in your, him or her in your care. And that's a huge part of the release too. So all weekend, there's a lot going on that helps women get past the situation. So, and again, if anyone out there is listening and struggling with this, please know again that you are loved by God. He cares about you so much, and he knows already what you did. He's waiting for you to come to him and be forgiven and be healed and be restored. And like I say, Skyline holds Bible studies. I know there are other things around San Diego, but Skyline does hold these healing Bible studies for women that have experienced abortion, and our retreats periodically too.
Okay. And then when this show is posted tomorrow morning, on my notes, I'll have Dana's email in case you'd like to contact her regarding getting into one of these Bible studies and continue to get information. We'll be right back.
You know, it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who've shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they had hoped would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Areas here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen, since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs. Give me a call. Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-401-2150. That's 619-401-2150 or fredfalduti.com. That's Fred, FALDUTI.com.
The verdict is in on Bob Siegel's novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. Readers love it, and they say as much in their customer reviews. Reviews such as this one. Like the Chronicles of Narnia in the last century, the story is fun and mysterious, appropriate for adults as well as kids, and should become a classic. I won't even give any spoilers, but I will say that I couldn't put it down. It makes a point without being preachy. There are twists and turns and a great ending. Like the title object, the story challenges your thinking without leaving you in despair. This book would make an excellent Christmas gift for yourself or others, and it can be enjoyed at any time of the year. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Welcome back, I should say. I'm kind of closing down a segment with my lovely Mrs. Dana Siegel.
Yay, you got it right that time. Yes, I wanted to just finish off by thanking people. You know, these retreats are just an amazing thing that God has created. He has certainly opened many doors for us. And I know I've already shared about Pine Valley and how amazing they've been. Pine Valley Bible Conference Camp. They're just amazing. And we just are so appreciative for them. But there were also people that donated money to sponsor women to go. Many women were allowed to go because of sponsorship. So thank you to all of our financial donors. Thank you to all the people that were praying for us. There were many of you praying and taking care of the, just making sure that we were covered all weekend. There was a team praying back at Skyline. So thank you, prayer partners. We appreciate that coverage that you gave us. I want to also thank all of the serving leaders, the women that work on this with me. They are all just dear, dear friends to me. We've all become friends because we have all experienced abortion. And, you know, if you'd asked me 4 years ago, 5 years ago, if I would have such an amazing group of ladies around me that, that would be our commonality, I wouldn't have dreamt it in a million years. But these ladies are just amazing. So compassionate, so giving. They all understand. They all have different stories, and yet there are many commonalities between them. So I'm so grateful to the women that help with this and that just take care of the whole weekend. And there is a group of six serving women that help with this. So thank you to all of our serving leaders. You know who you are. And finally, I want to thank my husband, Mr. Siegel, for allowing
not
me.
Not Mr. Wright.
No, not Mr. Although you are my right husband. But for you just allowing us to come on the air periodically and share. And a lot of connections have been made because of the time that you've given me on the air. And certainly my healing started because of your seeing the need in me that I was just walking under this burden.
Well, it's a better show when you are on the air. And I couldn't talk her into staying on all the way to the end of the program. So now you're left with me. And I guess we'll look at something from the Bible. We could have had Dana, but
Guess we'll just do a Actually, there's a pretty ferocious verse that I was talking about in Sunday school today, and I think I'll revisit it right now on this program. It's found at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which was the very first sermon that Jesus gave. And in this sermon, he mentions that not everybody who calls himself a Christian is actually going to be saved. In fact, he's going to personally send some of them to hell. Now, putting aside how hairy that sounds, it says something about the integrity of Jesus right there, because if this was not a true prophet of God, if this was just some nutcase that wanted to start a movement and have a following, why would he start out that way? Why would he get up and say, wow, hey, great turnout. Just want to start by saying a lot of you, many of you, even though you're following me and expressing loyalty to me, you're still going to end up in hell. I'm going to send you there personally. And now we have the announcements. Peter, it's just not very likely. Why would he give them such doom and gloom if that wasn't just exactly what God had told him to say? And here's what he said. Here's how he expressed it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, I will say to many, many will say to me, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many glorious works? And then I will declare to them frankly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Now, when he says, I never knew you, obviously he's God. Jesus was God incarnate. He doesn't mean he doesn't know who they are. He doesn't mean he doesn't know their address. He doesn't mean he doesn't know where they live. In Greek, the word there for to know meant an intimate knowledge. What he's saying is, I did not have a relationship with you, which means right here, Jesus is defining a Christian in two ways. We tend to define a Christian as anybody who goes to church or anybody who's made some quick prayer of salvation. Jesus was saying, a real follower of mine is one who has a relationship with me. They're not doing this on their own. And the evidence of the relationship, the fruit of the relationship, is obedience. Now, we're not saved by obedience. We're not saved by works. We're saved by going to God, admitting that we can't do it on our own, admitting our sin, asking for forgiveness, but also asking him to come and change our heart. And in the process of changing our heart, we do enter into that kind of relationship with him. The way Jesus shared the gospel and the way we share the gospel today is very different. There's a story that's found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, where a rich young ruler came up to Jesus. Now, I should say right away, contrary to popular opinion, the Bible does not say it's a sin to be rich. And the Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. This particular person was putting his money before God. There are other people that Jesus met that had money, and they weren't putting their money before God, so God didn't mind them having money. This person walked up to Jesus one day in the middle of one of Jesus' speeches with a big crowd, right in front of the crowd. He said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I'm an evangelist, and I can tell you that is an evangelist's dream. Have somebody just walk right up to you and say, how can I have eternal life? How can I be saved? And the first thing we would want to do is just rush in and go, oh, well, quick, make this sinner's prayer and say, Jesus, forgive me. Well, of course, Jesus was actually there. This was at a different time in history. But even so, we'd probably expect him to go, well, follow me for a couple of years. In a couple of years, I'm going to die for your sins on the cross. Hang around. Watch. Believe I did it for you. He didn't say any of those things. Of all things, he started talking about the law. He said, you know the law. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Honor your father and mother. What's interesting is the guy immediately jumped in and said, I've done all these things. Now, why would Jesus talk about the law? Especially when the Apostle Paul and Jesus himself said later, we're not saved by following the law, because the law gives us the bad news. Gospel means good news. The good news that we can be forgiven of our sin. But the gospel has a twin brother called the bad news. And the bad news is that we have sinned. Jesus wanted to back up a few steps. He used to tell his disciples, don't rush into these things. Have people count the cost. He wanted this person to understand that there were certain sins. And did this guy rush right in? He says, well, I've done all this. I have honored my father and mother. I haven't committed murder. Jesus could have argued those points. I mean, no, the guy probably really hadn't committed murder, but he could have said, have you ever been angry with anybody? In my Sermon on the Mount, I said, if you've been angry without cause, you're a murderer. But there was one commandment conspicuously left out called thou shalt not covet. This guy was putting his money before God. You see, in everybody's life, there's a certain area. They're willing to give God everything but this one area. The way Jesus shared the Gospels, he keyed right in on that one area. What one area is yours? That's the question I'll leave you with this week.
Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.